Chapter 5. On Thursday morning, Cub and his men finished the footings for the foundation of our new house and squared off the partial basement. To celebrate, Mom and I drove to Dilly's Cafe for what we Oklahomans consider the best fried chicken in the USA. Stepping into Dilly's was like stepping back to an earlier time. The ambiance of the small cafe, as well as its home-cooked food, drew people inside its doors. In 1946, a World War II soldier returned to his hometown of Levi, Oklahoma, with a dream of starting his own restaurant. He did the cooking, using local fruits and vegetables. Dilly's was an instant success. Yellow formica-topped chrome tables and black-and-white checked tile floors replicated the eating place of the 1940s. With a little imagination, I could believe that going through Dilly's doors was walking into a time warp of 60 years ago. The place was packed when Mom and I arrived shortly before noon, but astonishingly, the hubbub of conversation quieted before we could even find a seat. It seemed as though the crowd had been waiting for our appearance. All talk of the weather, the price of beef, last night's accident on Perry Road, and the prospect of a new tool and tractor supply business west of town quieted. Bruce Dowell, the biggest and loudest citizen anywhere in three counties, pushed himself off his seat, headed straight for us, and rumbled, "Is it true, Miss Flora?" Mom frowned. "Whatever are you talking about, Bruce? Is what true?" His grin was sly.
"Why, I'm purely certain you know that old Cub has told everybody in Ventress County about the metal box he found while he was digging the foundation for your new house."
Metal box? I remembered the childhood game of gossip. Facts were twisted and changed as they went from person to person. Mom's frown deepened.
"I don't know anything about what Cub tells anybody. But if we did find something out there, it's my property and nobody else's business. And it's not very professional of him to talk to anybody in town about what he finds on his jobs."
My mother stepped around Bruce and headed for the nearest empty booth, calling,
"Tony, bring Darcy and me a plate of that fried chicken that smells so good."
"I think you'd better leave well enough alone, Bruce," I told him, following my mother. But Bruce Dowell wasn't smart enough to know when it was time to shut up. He trailed behind us all the way to our seats, leaned over, and put both hands on our table.
"That might be the thing to do, unless what old Cub found was a box of stolen gold from those bank robberies of the 30s. Why, everybody in the country knows those stories, and some of them are bound to be true. You've heard about how banks were robbed and money buried in the Cookson Hills. Cherokee County, Ventress County, plenty of good hiding places. Your place out there on the river has lots of places to stash stolen loot."
His eyes narrowed.
"You wouldn't try to keep something like that a secret, would you, Miss Flora? Is that your yellow truck parked out front, Bruce?"
We all looked up as a dark, small man stopped at our booth. Bruce squinted at the newcomer.
"Yep, that would be mine. Maybe you didn't pull the emergency brake. Looked to me like it is rolling off down the hill."
Bruce yelped and dashed for the door.
"That fella been bothering you, Flora?"
"He's a pest, but he's gone now. Sit down, Mr. Hopkins. You came at a mighty good time,"
Mom said, scooting over to make room. Burke Hopkins slid in beside her. Tony appeared immediately and set three cups of steaming black coffee in front of us. For as long as I could remember, Burke Hopkins had been a fixture in Levi and Ventress County. He was Cherokee and had lived on a farm just beyond town. If Levi could be thought of as a tapestry, Burke Hopkins would be a colorful thread, appearing and then disappearing in the pattern, lending richness and depth to the fabric of life here in this small town. Mr. Hopkins was the sort of character that locals liked to point out to visitors. He preferred living alone in his small house with his two dogs and a flock of laying hens to the company of townsfolk. Maybe it was because he was a rich store of Cherokee lore that he occupied a special niche in longtime Levi residence. He had the reputation for knowing about the healing powers of herbs, and some said he still believed in many of the ways of his ancestors. I knew a couple of people who claimed Burke had cured them from an illness that stumped the doctors. Anyone Burke counted as a friend felt blessed. My mother and I were two of those fortunate people. Mom smiled at him. I've been meaning to call you and ask if your hens are laying. I'll need a dozen of those brown eggs as soon as you have them. Burke took a sip of coffee and sighed appreciatively. Nothing beats a hot cup of coffee on a cold day. The hens are picking up again, Flora. I'll bring your eggs along in a day or two. I had been only half listening to Mom and Burke's conversation. Somehow, I had to ask Burke Hopkins about that name on the Bible record. The preacher who had supposedly married Granny Grace and Markham Caldwell was Hopkins, a pretty common name, and the marriage took place in Siloam Springs, not Levi. How could I find out if Burke was related to the preacher listed on that record without telling him more than I wanted known? Actually, Mr. Hopkins, I ran across a name the other day, and I wondered at the time if you were kin to a Reverend Monroe Hopkins. Burke's dark eyes crinkled. That brown line around the top of your cup ought to be polished by now, Darcy. You've been rubbing it ever since I sat down. My face grew warm. What I'm wondering is, why was it so hard for you to ask that, and where did you run across my father's name? Burke asked, smiling. Your father, Mom and I blurted at the same time. Several heads in nearby booths turned to look at us. I don't remember ever seeing your father, Mom added. No, you wouldn't have. He was a circuit-riding preacher. He was way before your time, Darcy. I was just a lad when Father passed away, but Mother and I managed to take care of ourselves and live on in the house that he built. You didn't answer my question. Where did you see his name? Help, Lord, this astute old man had eyes that seemed to see through me. How much should I tell him? Mom came to my rescue. You know how Darcy is, Mr. Hopkins. She likes to delve into the past. She may have seen his name in an old document that she unearthed somewhere or other. My mother, who began and ended each day talking with her Heavenly Father, sometimes came up with the truth in a most interesting fashion. My thoughts were whirling. Could it be that Burke's dad was the man who officiated at my grandmother's first wedding? How much did he know about Markham Caldwell, and how could I find out if the information had been passed to Monroe's son? Bruce Dowell stomped back into Dilly's and stood glaring down at Burke.
My truck wasn't rolling down the hill. You lied to me, you old buzzard. You just wanted to get me out of here.
Burke gazed silently at the table. Several people around us laughed as Bruce snorted, then stalked out of Dilly's. I think you just made an enemy, I said. Burke shook his head.
Dal hasn't liked me in a long time, Darcy. Not since I complained to him about one of his dogs that liked to come around and catch some of my laying hens. When that old dog turned up dead, Dal thought I had killed it, but I sure didn't. I never would poison anything, certainly not a dog.
Burke Hopkins rose to his feet and looked down at us for a few seconds.
Sometimes it's best to let what's past stay buried, Darcy, he said. Don't go digging around too much.
Then he turned and silently left the cafe.